My parents listened to last week's show.
Your parents actually listened to our show?
Well,
I don't think my mother knows I have a show.
She still thinks you work in television?
I'm not sure.
I actually gave my parents a heads up that they might want to hear us talk about John Denver.
Oh, because John Denver.
They're, you know, big fans of John Denver. And they both independently called you history's greatest monster and said that they don't know how somebody who doesn't like John Denver could have the job that you have.
Therefore,
true story.
Therefore, they are right now demanding that I step down.
Yes, they're giving serious thought to not renewing their support of their local public radio station, knowing that you have anything to do with public radio at all. So that went over really well.
That's awesome. So your parents are not going to like hear what I have to say about this next band and have any credibility at all.
They've already turned the show off.
It's gone.
Yeah. They're gone.
Do you remember 2010 and a group called Surfer Blood and Astro Coast?
Sure.
They have a new record out. And I've heard the first song and I'm absolutely thrilled. It is such a knockout. Mr. Hilton, you're going to love this song.
I can't wait to hear it.
The name of the album is called Python, and I'm going to play the lead-off track called Demon Dance. I'm telling you.
I'm strapping myself in.
Yeah, you might even want to hold on to your sweet tarts.
Here I go. That's not John Denver. I'll
yeah,
give you that.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about this record,
well,
Bob?
I just literally got this record and just literally heard the song. And I wrote to Warner Brothers and said, please tell me anything you can about this record because I want to like sound like I know something.
Right. you want this show to be special.
That's right. So they
not like the other shows. The other you're shows, on.
Right? Yeah. Look, folks at Warner are great people, but this is what they sent me. They said the band's from West Palm Beach. Surfer Blood is a band. We know that. They told me the band member's name, and then they said that this is my favorite part. They said NPR's Bob Boylan called Astro Coast his favorite album of 2010 and declared Surfer Blood to be America's best new pop band.
All right. Well, they're still America's best new pop band. Then
that
I guess
is so good. I am so thrilled that they have such a good new record coming back. But there was a moment in that song.
Yeah.
Hey, Daoud is here. Maybe Daoud would know
Daoud
this.
Tyler Amin.
I heard about the last 8 seconds of that as I came in the
room. Yeah, okay. So there's a part in the song that reminds us of an Electric Light Orchestra song.
Oh, boy. I may not be able to help you.
All right, let's. Not yet. That's all right. So we got three music experts failed. Audience, what is that song? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
We use the term music experts very loosely.
Well.
Anyway, fantastic new music. Surfer Blood, Demon Dance is a song. The record's called Pythons, and it comes out June 11th. So we got a little ways for the entire record. I look forward to hearing the whole thing.
Daoud has come with music as well.
You're a great lover of pop music, and that's why I figured you, A, would love that and may know the ELO thing. But what are you bringing to the table today?
I'm here to play a song by Miyazaki. They're a synth pop band from right here in Washington, D.C. Because I don't know a ton about synth music, viewing it from afar, you know, it tends to fall into a couple of different categories. You think of very cold, distant, austere music that's sort of synth-based, and you think of the really kind of grindy, intense, like sexy synth music. And this is somewhere in between. It's a little bit dreamlike. The lead singer, Eduardo Rodella, has an incredibly Stephen Merritt-like voice that sort of floats very nicely over these sort of dreamscapes that they create. So this is a song from their first proper album. They've only been together for about 2 years. The album is called Color of Glass, and the song is called Torrance.
As in, Danny's not here right now, Mrs. Torrance.
That's right. Not as in Torrance, California. Torrance is in the plural of torrent.
Steel.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I learned seeing that band?
The band is Miyazaki.
Named after Hayao Miyazaki, the Japanese filmmaker behind Spirited Away, a lot of really wonderful films. I saw that band play at a church in D.C. about a year ago, and I discovered that even a lot of our most stylish and beautiful people are super awkward dancers, but in a great way. I mean, they kind of lit the room up. I don't think anybody knew what to expect.
D.C.'s a decent dance
for
audiences, which you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. You go north 240 miles to a city called New York, and you can see the same show, and it's a lot harsher crowd. I think D.C.'s pretty welcoming. I know.
I guess I'm not going to the right shows.
Yeah, okay.
People, I think, were willing to kind of get down to a band like this, which was to everybody's credit.
Nice. Good choice.
Miyazaki.
Thank you.
I'm almost glad we had you on the show.
Almost. I'm getting there.
And the record is out?
The record is out. Came out in January. Color of Glass.
Color of Glass. Thank you. Daoud.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Robin was looking kind of a little depressed, and I went upstairs and got his entire 44 pouches of sweet tarts. Just ought to get us through the day.
Thanks, Dan Raby.
We have awesome interns all of the time. Yeah, I stopped calling Lars a former intern. I did it for an awfully long time. I was just proud.
I've been here, I've been here, it'll be 7 years this summer.
Wow. You were just like a kitten.
He was our intern, and then Bob
he was
said
like
we've
a little kitten.
Find a way to keep Lars here.
And now here he is. He's going to bring us some music. What do we got?
So today I have something that's not new per se, but it's kind of new to, I think, most people. It's this record by a group called Levin Signs. It was originally released in 1985 and has been dug up by this a great record label that I like called Digitalis. It's this record that it was made by a duo in the UK, and it's this record that kind of reimagines gamelan as like weird 80s electropop music.
Wow, that sounds like something that would happen today. Gamelan being a bell, an orchestra made of bells,
From the islands of Indonesia, and just like this very trance-like music, at least gamelan, and then them bringing those kind of timbres and sounds to like kind of noisy but very tranquil and very like textured pop music. And I've just absolutely fallen in love with this record.
Is this like the period of Art of Noise kind of band?
I guess so. You could almost put it in that realm, and you know what you just said about like you can almost hear that today. I think that's why this reissue makes a lot of sense, because there are a lot of bedroom recordings kind of like enjoy that kind of like quiet sound that kind of digs into like more experimental textures. And but this was happening like 30 years ago.
Ouch. So Levin Signs, and the song is Prague Spring. Is that
Prague Spring? And it's off a record probably appropriately titled To the Sounds You're About to Hear, Hemp Is Here.
Oh, it's about rope. That's great.
Yeah. Okay.
Hammocks and t-shirts.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Nice choice, Lars.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah.
How do you find something that was only released on cassette 30 years ago?
He dumpster dives.
Yeah, where do you find this? I mean, that's just amazing to me.
I'm trying to remember the story. So the owner of Digitalis is this gentleman named Brad Rose, and I think the story goes that he had a friend who had made a tape of this tape for him, who is also into kind of like weird pop music, and Brad spent literally like a few years trying to track down the people who made this recording. Mm. And when he finally found them, he found that one of the people is actually still making music, and is apparently has been so inspired by this the idea of this album being reissued and more people hearing it, that he is completely reimagining the record himself.
If you told me this was recorded last month, I would believe you.
Yeah. And I mentioned Art of Noise not to be obscure, but because right in the middle 80s, early middle 80s, they were one of the many bands in England making good, experimental, interesting music, rhythmically based. Were you a fan of Flying Lizards at all? Do you know Flying Lizards?
I don't know Flying Lizards.
Flying Lizards are amazing, fun band, and they're sort of right in that category. Actually, I'll see if I can just quickly pull up Flying Lizards in my digital library or not.
Art of Noise did have a great crossover hit. Close to the Edit. Let's see if I have it here. From Who's Afraid or the Art of Noise? Remember this spot? Oh, yeah. Hey! It had the coolest video.
Give me the cable. We only have one cable here. When we move to our new building, Lars, the big news?
It'll all be better in the new building.
That's right. And we have two cables in the new building.
And two cables.
This was...
This is going to be... Things are happening to us now.
This was Flying Lizards did a version of Money, The Best Things in Life Are Free.
Right.
Yeah.
Did this version? Yeah, this one that's...
This is the one. Right.
Funny how that works out. Where, like, you hear this song, like, everywhere, and
you never know who actually
does it.
Yeah.
It's in, like, every movie trailer.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I never see movies, so what do I know?
Bob. Go to the cinema.
It's always the same time as rock shows. How are you supposed to do that? Anyway, thanks, Lars.
Thanks, Lars.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Robin.
That guy does so much drugs. You can hear it in the music he brings to the table.
Oh, my God. I had no idea who you were talking about, because we know our Lars. The guy eats good food, but he doesn't take drugs.
This is true.
And just when the show was starting to get good,
yeah,
we now bring in Stephen Thompson.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
everybody. What do you got,
buddy? Well, you know, I've been spending the last week or two, like you guys, dredging through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs to prepare for South by Southwest. And everything is very discovery-driven. But every once in a while, it's nice to sort of cleanse my palate with an artist I knew I already liked. Well, lo and behold, we just got a random post of a song by Sufjan Stevens. And at first, you know, it comes on and you hear his kind of auto-tuned, it sounds a little bit like a goof at first. And he posts on his site, you know, where he posts the song, he sort of, I just found this on a hard drive. I have, you know, no recollection of it whatsoever, which I just love the notion of, like, I wrote this really good thing and then, you know, it vanished entirely. It vanished from my memory. But the song starts out kind of cheesy and auto-tuned, and then it builds and builds and builds, and it builds into something gorgeous. And I love the way that guy, you know, he'll drive you nuts, but then it's like, oh, here's some genius.
Yeah.
So the song is called Give a Little Love.
Excellent.
Give a little love.
Give a little bit of your love to me. Yeah. And that was the song by Sufjan Stevens. What's next, Robin?
Give a little love for a lonely man whose purpose may have changed, but I still feel the same. Colors of the past, I realized at last, I'm all alone, I'm all alone. Give a little kiss toward my loneliness, I couldn't see it best. The burdens of my breast, all the troubles of the past, I realized at last, I'm all alone.
pieces of the past. I realized at last I'm all alone, I'm all alone. I couldn't even speak, I'm all alone, I'm all alone. Do what you can to scorn me, I'm all alone. All I want is a little bit of love, is a little bit.
A lot stuffed into there.
Yeah, always. I love that guy's music, Sufjan Stevens.
Give a little love.
And it sounded like around the time of the EP, Before the Age of Odds, the All Delighted Peoples. Yeah,
yeah, and that's what he says in the. He puts a kind of a cryptic little note with it, like, oh, maybe 2010.
All Delighted People.
He just happened to have 40 people in his house that day to record a little tune.
That's what I always wonder when I hear songs, like, how many people? He's just got this army of people, it sounds like, anyway, behind all these songs. That's great.
Thanks.
Very exciting to hear.
Yeah.
So how are you doing with that South By stuff anyway? Yeah.
Well, I'm 1,400 songs in.
Wow. And can we do something together? Let's try this real quick. So this is how I go about my figuring out South By Southwest stuff. So I'll do something like... and this will be playing, and then it's time to rate it. At what point would you rate this song?
Oh, it's already rated.
Okay. All right, that's Robin. Steven?
I got to hear a verse and a chorus. Yeah. Unless it's objectively terrible, I got to hear a verse and a chorus.
Okay. That's good to know. All right, let's do another one. I would have listened more. All right. I'm already done.
Really?
Yeah.
Just because it's kind of country
rock? Because I've heard it 400,000 times before.
I don't need nobody else. I feel fine.
still curious to hear a chorus.
Five star song.
All right. I have one more.
Lori likes country music now.
Lots of people like country.
It's not that I don't like country music, but South By for me is about discovery.
Right.
Something really, trying to find something different.
Oh, so if you hear something that just sounds like boilerplate, you skip it. That makes
totally.
Sense.
Yeah. I'm just curious how you all work.
And this is so up you guys' alley that I assume you're going to pick it.
Although this is up my alley for like 3 or 4 years ago. So, or,
sure.
You know, so, but I'm listening. I'm not going to judge the song in front of others. That would be rude to the band. But just in terms of like, how do you go through a lot of stuff and try to find the best? You don't find it all. You certainly miss stuff because of the
you're
way
bound,
we do it.
You're bound to.
But that's why there are three of us. Steven, you've been going through songs quicker than us because you've got a deadline.
Yeah, usually I'm the slowest, but I have been putting together the Austin 100, which is a 100-song playlist of highlights from South by Southwest. I've been clearing tons of them for download. You're going to basically be able to download a gigantic bundle of awesome free music.
Great, and listen to the stream.
At nprmusic.org.
Excellent. And that, on the phone.
And on our apps. We've got apps coming out of our ears. And it's going to be a really, really cool experience for every year. We don't literally have apps coming out of our ears. You gave a quizzical look when I said
did.
That.
I was just imagining that.
I was going for cliche, and I landed on confusing.
Thanks, Stephen Thompson.
Thank you.
Well, our editor, speaking of confusion.
Speaking of another frustrated genius. Not Steven, by the way.
One more sweetheart before you do this.
I'm starting to crash, man.
Okay.
so tired.
This is something Wayne Coyne might do.
Yeah, Wayne Coyne. So from Sufjan Stevens, who I do consider a genius, now to another creative genius, I think Wayne Coyne and the Flaming Lips. Flaming Lips, they've got a new record coming out that they've announced. It's called The Terror. Now, it's their first studio album since 2009, when they released Embryonic. But if you think, well, they haven't been doing anything, they have been on actually one of the most remarkable creative streaks of any band, let alone a band that's been, this is their 30th anniversary. They started in 1983. They are, I feel like, at the peak of their creative career right now, at a point when other bands long ago would have hung it up. And they have been collaborating with other artists, covering other bands, other albums. They completely redid The Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. They did King Crimson's In the Court of the Crimson King. They've been on this endless tour. They once gave 8 concerts in 24 hours. I think it started in Memphis and ended in somewhere in like maybe New Orleans or something. I can't remember exactly where it ended. And they webcast the full 24 hours. They released a song that was 6 hours long, and then they released another one that was 24 hours long. I mean, this band is just amazing to me, and they continue to impress me when I think they can't impress me anymore. And now they've got this fantastic record coming out. It's called The Terror. I want to play the opening cut. It's called Look, the Sun is Rising, and we can talk a little bit more about it when we get out of the song.
We'll be right back.
Good Lord. You know, we talked about the Gang of Four and the resurgence, and you hear that sound, that that angular guitar that I think Brainstorm was the last band we had on our show that had that kind of sound. Here it is in Flaming Lips. It's such a
yeah, the track movie. Is Look, the Sun is Rising. It's the opening cut, and it really is a pretty good example of how much of the record sounds. A little dark, moody, some ambient moments.
Sonically really, pretty exciting.
Yeah, very, very cool record, The Terror. It's out April 2nd, and we'll have the whole record online for everyone to hear in our first listen series.
March 18th?
Yep.
Indeed.
Looking forward to it.
And we hope we can get them to do a guest DJ. What do you think?
Yeah. Working on it, Mr. Boylan.
Excellent. Wayne, you out there? Give us a call. Spin some songs with us.
KG, Mr. Coyne.
White Courtesy Telephone.
Please. No one else knows what that's a reference to. Sorry. So call up New York.
Anybody in New York? New York Marine operator. New York Marine. New York out. See, it works all the time. When I was a kid, that's what I would listen to, this little marine band radio, and right on the coast would be, that was a shortwave, and there's a woman, I assumed it was a woman because I didn't think it was recording, and all day long she would say, New York Marine operator, New York Marine, New York out.
And you just listened to that all day long.
That was the sad part. I thought it was her that was the sad part. I learned later it was actually me listening to her saying that over and over again.
Your ability to listen to that over and over again says a lot about the music you like today.
Some things have not changed. Hi, New York. Now for something completely different. How's that? We'll go to New York.
Well, I don't know what came before.
And that voice on the other end is Anastasia Tsoulkas. And you have something for us by Maria Schneider.
Yeah, well, she's a jazz composer, and she has made this incredible name for herself doing big band music. Not entirely, but, you know, that's where a lot of her fame has come from. She writes beautifully textured music. But this project takes her in a little bit of a different direction. She's working with a classical vocalist and a couple of different orchestras on this recording. And it's called Winter Morning Walks, and it's all poetry by Ted Kooser. I don't know if his name's familiar. He was Poet Laureate of the United States.
Oh.
Honestly, kind of new to me, too. He was a name I recognized, but I didn't know his poetry at all. And it's really beautiful, and it works so well because he's kind of sparing. And so is she, and so is the vocalist, and it all comes together so beautifully. And anyway, Kooser wrote this collection of poetry while he was recovering from cancer. And he was told by one of his oncologists that he had to stay out of the sunlight for a year after his radiation treatment. So he got in the habit of taking really early morning walks, and somehow in the course of that daily rhythm of going out for a couple of miles, he was inspired and started writing about the experience in really beautiful ways. There's a lot of synergy that came into this recording because Maria Schneider wrote this music while her dad was dying, and she'd begun working with this incredible American soprano, Dawn Upshaw, who, as it happens, she's also a breast cancer survivor. And while Dawn was recording this and working with Maria on this, Dawn's sister, Dana Upshaw, was battling breast cancer herself. And she died right a few months after the premiere of this work. And in fact, the world premiere of this concert was the last performance that Dana Upshaw heard. You know, even taking away the layers of the story, it's just fragile, especially this track we're about to hear, which actually opens the collection. It's called Perfectly Still This Solstice Morning.
Let's listen to Maria Schneider. For NPR Music, I'm Bob Boylan, along with Robin Hilton.
Thanks, Bob.
It's All Songs Considered.